Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Paranormal Fringe. Only on the Vibe Network. Every Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Becomes paranormal. Here is your host, Rebecca.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome aboard and welcome to the Fringe. Tonight we have special guest David Ullman on board. He's going to talk to us about his projects. He has a movie called House at the End of the Lane, and we're going to talk to him about that. And we're also going to talk about the Charles Manson, Sharon Tate murder case. And we're going to get started right now. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you, Rebecca?
Doing well. Or head to House at the End of the Drive, forgive me. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and get started talking to you about that. We're thrilled to have you on. I've heard you as a guest before on some shows, and I'm so excited to have you here. And as I mentioned, you have a movie called The House at the End of the Drive, which pretty much documents the experiences you've had living down the street from this house.
Yes and no. It doesn't really document. It's, more in the lines of a story, and half of the story is based directly on experience I myself have had and other people have had here at the house as well, including Dr. Barry Taff, who one of his experiences, famously enough, was recorded in the movie, and I paid homage to him by actually including that scene from one of his experiences here in the house.
Awesome. You want to tell us a little bit about the history of how you got involved with this location, when this all started? I know that you've been affiliated with this story since you were a child, I believe, correct?
Yes and no, yes. In the sense that I personally was in the company of some of the Manson girls, yes, in fact, as a matter of fact, as a child. Unbeknownst to me, long before the murders, they were actually in my mom's car, and I was in the front seat and they were in the back seat. And it's still to this day, it's burned in my memory to this day. So that's directly the connection. As well as one of my neighbors was Jan Barry of Jan and Dean. I used to go up to the house, to the Barry house. It was a ranch, really, up in Bel Air, around the corner from my parents' house, and I used to hang out there all the time. And unbeknownst to me, there were some of the family members that were up there at the house when I was up there as a kid. So
amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of quirky. The fact I was thinking about last night. By the way, I have nothing to do with 6 degrees of separation of Helter Skelter or 6 degrees of Helter Skelter, other than the fact that Scott Michaels, a dear friend of mine who runs Dearly Departed Tours, had offered me the opportunity to be on the B-side of that DVD, and that's where I appear. I'm on the B-side of it. I do an interview, or I was interviewed for that, that DVD.
Hey, David, I got a question for you. Most people dream of fame of some sort and public acknowledgement. Some people do. And I'm wondering, how has your life changed from being thrown into the public eye because of this event?
Well, and not so much because of the event, but because of my house and the paranormal activity that's occurred here and the fact that I've had lots of television shows. Six in the U.S. have been out here. I was actually approached by the Dead Files recently, and I was dealing with the death of a family member. My last living relative had passed away. Not sister, but I mean older relative. That was one of my parents' contemporary friends.
Sorry to hear that.
And yeah, it was. It was one of the few that are left. I think there's one or two that are left, but it was kind of, you know, stressful to me, and I wasn't really interested in discussing and thinking about doing a TV show, and they called me up a bunch of times, and I just said, you know, I don't have time to think about giving somebody the opportunity to do a TV show here right now with what I got going on with the my own personal situation. And as I said, two in the UK, but how should I say it? I don't consider myself famous because of the murders. I know that the proximity of my house to the Sharon Tate murders has driven a lot of the TV shows about the paranormal activity here. And as I've come to know and realize, had those murders not taken place at the end of the street from my house, that still would not have affected the paranormal activity that goes on here. Because, oh, as it turns out, what Barry Taff had said, 10 years ago now, in 2007 and 2006, as a matter of fact, I think it was 2005 to 2006 Barry was here. Barry said that the house has its own geomagnetic anomaly that it sits upon, and the fact that the way the house is designed with a lot of steel in the framework and in the structure that is part of what the structural engineer designed into the structure, there's a lot of there's a highly elevated DC electromagnetic field period in the house that ranges anywhere from around 4,000 to 6,000 milligauss positive to 4,000 to 6,000 milligauss negative.
Wow, that's a range.
Yeah, to give you an idea, normal is anywhere between 300 and 500 milligauss positive. And when Barry was here, he recorded on his geomagnetometer, which had a range of 1,999 up to positive to negative. So it would peak. It could only register up to 2,000 milligauss. And but Barry says it's peaking at these levels on his meters. So he said, according to what his, you know, how should I say, his reports are concerned, he said, he goes, these numbers could be far exceeding 2,000 milligauss, but due to the fact that our equipment, and again, this is circa 2005-2006, is limited to this number reading, we won't ever know until we have meters that will read beyond 2,000. Since that time, we found equipment that's been able to register up to 100,000 milligauss, and it's gone up to, like I said, at one point we had 7,500 milligauss negative at the top of the stairs.
Wow.
Wow.
And what's interesting is we have, there's a 10-inch crescent wrench that sits on top of the bar in the third level, which is just absolutely positively the most palpable electromagnetic field anomalous energy. I mean, the number's there around 6,000 milligauss. There's a crescent wrench, as I mentioned, that's been sitting on the bar. And it just sits on top of the bar, and there's no electronics attached to the bar. It's just an old cabinet turned into a bar, no electricity running through it whatsoever. The crescent wrench now has been so magnetized that when you bring a meter next to it or a compass, the compass spins around at one end, and the other end it spins around up and finally secures to an opposite. It says north on one end, and it says south on the other. But the numbers on the meters are like 5,000 milligauss positive and 5,000 milligauss negative at the opposite ends of the crescent wrench. Just sitting there in that environment.
Is the crescent wrench a personal item, or was it left by a contractor? Where did it originate from?
I brought it down there to work because there are two kegerators down there, and it just sits on top of the counter, on top of the bar countertop, because it was there because I was using it to tighten the valves on the CO2 tanks. But the fact of the matter is it just by sitting down there after magnetized from just being in that environment, it's next to impossible to explain why that is.
That's different.
So the idea to do a test would be is to bring in a piece of completely, you know, test a piece of metal and make sure to taste the measurements on it before you take it down there. Take it down there, leave it there on top of the counter, leave some cameras on it, and see what happens. And come back a couple days later and see if it measures higher readings than it was before. There's an idea.
Wow. Are there any other objects in the house that give off a reading like that?
Well, the 30-foot wrought iron staircase that goes from the top floor all the way to the bottom floor again has exhibited extremely elevated numbers, and there's no reason for it to be so. As Barry said famously 10 years ago or 11 years ago now, he said, you know, this is impossible because this gas and things is completely magnetized, and it goes, it's unbelievable, it's unprecedented. That was Barry's talking, so to speak. That was Barry, that's like Barry's accent, that I talk like Barry when I speak like Barry. Or speak of Barry, you know, it's one of those things, you know. No, Mr. Ullman, it's not. What is with you? You know, it's just like, and it's impossible. So it's been a bad habit when I talk Barry, I become Barry, you know, so it's one of those things, you know. Jesus, David, you're crazy. That's not possible. But in any event, yeah. So I haven't talked to Barry in a while since we did Ghost Adventures Aftershocks, as I like to call it, Afterschlocks. It was such a hatchet job. I can't really express my displeasure in those creeps and the way they portrayed and edited Barry and me, and it made it look like, oh, David's crazy. It was like, you know, excuse me, can we get some dramatic B-roll of David at half shadow, half light, so we can make him look really like with an intense look on his face. And I remember when they were shooting it, they said,
oh, goodness,
want an intense look on your face, David, so we can, it's like, okay, you want an intense look? All right, let's ham it up. Here's an intense look. And then it was like, you know, how's he affecting you, David? And I was like, yes, Barry, how am I affecting you? Am I, you know, he's joking around. It's like, I can't take it seriously. Somebody says something like that. It's like, how's he affecting you, David? I mean, Barry, how's he affecting you? And I'm wearing my big boy pants, so it's like, yes, Barry, how is David affecting you? I want to know, how is he affecting you? hey, what was this, Travel Channel? Do you mind if we pay for Barry Taft's insurance, health insurance for a year? Ah, that's what I thought you'd say. No, Barry, they're not going to pay your insurance for a year. I'm sorry. I guess I won't be wearing you as a skin to go into back to the Omen House again. There's my excuse. I won't go back unless Barry Taft goes with me. And because we won't pay for Barry Taft's insurance... I'm sorry, we won't go off on that tangent, I'm being told. All right. Yes, I got it.
Are you getting reeled in by Barry? Is that it?
No, I'm getting really, you think? I'd love to hear from Barry. Barry, I'm like, I'm hearing from some spirits in the house saying, you know, saying, don't give him any more credit than he is not due. And they're absolutely positively correct on that. There's no reason to discuss and mention his name. He's got a museum now. It's collected with haunted items. Did you hear that? Let's send Annabelle over there, and let's send the ashes of Mr. Warren as well. Ed, we're going to send you over to the haunted museum. That's how I feel about it. It's a haunted museum. I'd yawn, too. Yum, yum. Haunted. Yes, let me give him a haunted egg beater from 1955. It was used to kill somebody. Well, not exactly. He used it to egg beat his guts together. Since we didn't have a power blender, we had to use a hand-cranked egg beater to make pancakes out of his eyeballs. Yes. Goes along with your cauldron of from the serial killer. What was he killing? Was he killing Captain Crunch and Crisp?
Exactly.
I know that's long before we didn't say Crisp. Like, what the hell is Crisp? It's like, it's an old cereal from the 50s, from the 60s. A Martian. Maybe he's killing Frankenberry and Booberry. Oh, that's right. Booberry's already dead. So he's a serial killer, huh? What else did he kill? Count Chocula. No, he's already dead, too. So...
So, David, how many spirits do you think you have active in the house there?
Active? Well, let me tell you. Let me just go look it up in the rolls. Let's see. Spirit roll. How many pages? 999. Let's see. I'm going to quote Disneyland at the Haunted Mansion. 999. But we're always available for one more to make an even 1,000.
That's wonderful,
I'd say,
then.
I'd say there's tons of spirits that are in and out through the house. Lisa Williams and famously Marianne Minkowski said to me that there's plenty of spirit activity going on in the house. What's interesting is that she said that it's almost like a giant ghost flop house. So spirits come in and come out, and it's a constant kind of like a revolving door of spirit activity here. And it's really interesting. What I've seen is when people come in, the cadre of spirits around each and every one of us come into this environment and basically become active. And from what I've seen from the seances we've had here, we've had people's relatives come really quickly through and manifest like you wouldn't believe. And people go, oh, my God, I just felt this. And it's like, what happened? He goes, I just heard my name whispered in my ear. It's like, really? And I always say to people, who was the first person, the very first person that you think of when you heard that voice? And they said, such and such. And I said, well, there you go. I said, that's who it was. And they goes, what do you mean? I said, it's a matter of connection. It's a short span between you and the spirit that's communicating to you. And I said, I said, why would Sharon Tate, who doesn't know you, who you're a fan of, come and make an appearance to you? It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, I'm so disappointed. It's like, I said, you are crazy. You should be absolutely tickled pink. You're wanting an experience with a spirit. Yes or no? Because yes. Do you really care if it's Sharon Tate or if it's a relative? I said, isn't it better if it's an interpersonal connection versus a connection that you're seeking because of an altruistic view where it makes more sense that somebody that you knew would manifest and come through to you? And they go, oh, wow, you're right. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the way it is. It's not the way you want it to be. It's the way it is.
Well, you know, spirits
the
are...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say spirits, you know, do what, you know, they're the same as living people. They do what they want. They appear to who they want and where they need to be. So, you know, you can't tell them, you know, they're not circus animals that we can order around. So, you know, it's kind of a free will situation still. And I'm sorry, Ryan, go ahead with your question.
Don't be unhappy that somebody you knew visited you. Be excited that somebody you knew did visit you.
Agreed.
Exactly.
The same thing with when people go, oh, my God, there's a ghost. How do you deal with it? It's like, what would you do if somebody that you haven't seen in years that you went to elementary school pops up out of the blue, and I'm not talking about a ghost, I'm talking about in real life, and says hi to you? It's like, oh, my God, you haven't talked to them in years. You're so excited. Well, in most cases, in cases where the person you didn't have a good relationship, not so much. But the point is where somebody that's an old friend of yours you haven't talked to in years and you've dropped out of contact with, wouldn't you be gratified and satisfied and happy to know that they came to contact you? And I say the same thing with the spirit. You can't be upset. Say, well, what if they're an angry spirit? So if it's an angry spirit, you got to be like, okay, I'm sorry. You empathize with them. You know, say, look,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that you're pissed off. I'm really, I have nothing to do with it. If it's one of my relatives that pissed you off, take that up with them. But don't take it up with me because I have nothing to do with it. And that's how I treat spirits. It's, you know, people are like, oh, my God, something happened. It's like, so, for instance, an example. My friend Saran was here with his wife 6 months ago in August in the last investigation I had here on the 6th of August. And apparently she was in the third-level guest bedroom in the bathroom, and all of a sudden she said the faucets, both hot and cold, turned on, full blast. And I said, okay. She goes, I ran out of the house, and I decided to park myself in the back seat of my husband's car in front of the house, and I did not return to the house. And I don't ever want to return back to the house. And I said, that's terrible. I said, well, can't you think of it in these terms? That they're letting you know that they're there. Even if they juiced you and they spooked you, you should feel like, okay, they got me. You got me good. But you're not going to scare me out of David's house, and I'm not going to be terrified, so I will never return. I'm going to say, okay, you got me. I appreciate it. I feel flattered in the sense, because once you turn it around saying, from fear to saying, you know something, you got me. I admit it. You got me good. But you know something? That's then. I'm over it. It's done with. It's over with. You're not going to scare me out of the house. And it happened to me a few years earlier, a year and a half earlier, it happened to me in my bedroom, and it happened to my friend Adam on the top floor. So on all three floors it's happened. I said, you know, think, laugh about it. And once that happens, the spirits will go like, okay, they can't be scared. It's like, And it's like, but again, on the other hand, you should be like, that's so cool. They decided to manifest and do something for me. I am kind of like, in their eyes, for whatever reason, they wanted to let me know that they're here, and they manifested in such a way to do a physical action that I can say, okay, that really happened. I think that it's a blessing. I think it's like you've got to consider yourself lucky because so few people have a physical interaction with the spirit or something on the level of the paranormal. And to me, having them turn the faucets on, since they did it for my friend Adam, they did it for me, and they did it for this woman, you know, I can't say you got to turn around and say, hey, you know something? That's pretty cool. You're pretty lucky.
Right.
So many people go through life saying, I want to have the spirit act. And then when they have it, they freak out. It's like, yeah, you got what you asked for. What's the problem?
Exactly.
Dave, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know, when that house was it designed to be a beacon of paranormal activity?
13 ghosts. I heard 13 ghosts. No, that my dad designed the house. He had no idea about, you know, look, I was there. The whole story goes like this. My dad found the lot in 1998, late November of 1998. And he calls me up, and he's at 8 in the morning on a Sunday morning, and said, look, you got to meet me up here. I said, Dad, it's 8 in the morning. What the hell is going on? He goes, just get up, because I'm looking in the Sunday paper, as my dad did. And now my father, 20 years ago, is about 80 years old. And my dad was a young 80. God, it is 80, 83, 82? How old, Dad? Let's see, 17, 18. This is, so we bought the lot. So it's 18. It'll be, yeah, about 18 years. Yeah, we bought it 18 years ago. So it's about 18 and a half years ago. So he's about 82 years old. So I go, okay, fine, Pops. I'll go Cielo Drive. It's like, what, Cielo Drive? He goes, yeah, there's the address. Meet me up there at this lot. So I get up here, and I look down the street, and I said, oh, my God. I said, I haven't been here in years. I said, that's where the Sharon Tate murders took place. And my dad drives up in his, what car was Pops driving in, 82, and then 98. What the hell car was it? Probably the Lexus. Was it the Lexus? It could have probably been the Lexus. Nax, and it's probably the RX. I don't know, whatever the hell car he was driving. My dad, example, Dad was driving an RX-7 at the age of 80, okay? I mean, it was a late model RX-7. I mean, my father, you know, Dad was a pistol. Dad had all of his faculties close to the very end. And he was maybe 96. So Pops was like, he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking. I said, Dad, you know, that's where the murders of Sharon Tate and the other four. He goes, I don't give a rat's ass. We're here to look at this lot. And I remember vividly looking down at this hillside. There's a little house next to me, little, as I call it, a rickety house, meaning it's like two stories and then case, you know, these pipes, steel pipes going into the ground. I'm like going, wow, that's an old style cigarette box house with caissons, you know, raw, you know, all this extension. I'm going, wow, that's a rough house. And then I looked at this lot and I go, Jesus Christ, and I said, jeez, because I said, this is it. And he goes, okay. I said, we're about 150 feet down the driveway from the murders. He goes, yeah, this 48-foot lot's for sale. It's $40,000. And I said, $40,000. I said, you're serious? He goes, I said, okay. I said, what's wrong? He goes, you can't build on it. I said, so no wonder it's $40,000. So I said, you can't build on it. He goes, well, there's something wrong with the, says there's, you know, you have houses here, David. But there's something wrong with the situation. I said, okay. He goes, it's non-buildable. So we ended up doing some research, and he found out that the house, that somewhere the property, when it was being built on, and there were some improvements on the property included in this deal, where the street had been designated as a private street from a private drive. And in so doing, it had changed the requirements of the street conditions, meaning the width of the street. And somehow or another, it basically fell through the cracks through all these years, and it never got fixed. So my dad said, let's go in there and have it reapply to have this thing straightened out as it originally was, since it was never put through to be changed. So we did, and it all of a sudden made the property buildable. Of course, we already bought the lot knowing this, so we spent $40,000 for the lot, and it had about $100,000 worth of improvements by the fact that it had 13 30-foot deep caissons in the ground, which is concrete reinforced with steel, and then steel rebar across the top of the hillside as well that was there, all sitting there, waiting to be excavated and used, which is what we did and how I ended up living here. And during construction, there was funny stuff going on. I just used to feel like the sense like there's somebody always behind me when I was walking around the floors when before the house was all finished and built and done. So that in a nutshell is that.
You know, I read a little something on the lot about an Indian burial ground. Was that true,
or is that just internet
rumor?
No. That's something that Zach Two-Bit Baggins came up with and said, and it's really kind of sad because if you watch the episode, there are two flagrant embellishments, I like to call them flat-out lies, that he's perpetrating on the public based upon something that I say and something that Dre Fordham says. What I said is that Lisa Williams came to the house in, 2007, after the Ghost Hunter show aired, and she said that in that room, she said she felt in the earthen wall room that there's the spirit and a Native American on horseback is on the hillside and his remains are interred on that. I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, he was walking across what is now the driveway, but it was a horse path, and his horse got spooked, and he fell off, and the horse fell down the hillside and fell over him and broke his back, and they both were sitting on the hillside, and their remains were just left there. And through the years, they were covered through the mudslides, etc. And I basically said something like that to him on the episode. 2 minutes later, he goes back and starts saying, you know, David's house is built on ceremonial Native American burial grounds. And I and my friends, when we watched that, because I had like 30 people here watching that premiere episode for a party, and they go, what did he just say? And we said we had it off DVR, so it was like we watched it very long. He goes, David says this, and Zach then says this whole cock and bull story. And from that point on, he says in the whole entire show, he goes, well, you know, it's not good that David's house is built on Native American ceremonial burial grounds. You know, that's a big no-no. That's big mojo. That's bad juju. And I'm like, who the hell ever said that? I never said it was ceremonial Native American burial ground. And it's kind of sad because I have to sit there and make like Smokey the Bear and walk around and stomp out these little bullshit forest fires of David's house sits on Native American. And it's like, wait a second. So you mean to tell me in the mountains here, there weren't plateaus where it was flat pads of land that they could have used to bury their dead? Instead, they're going out of their way to bury some people 60 feet down the side of the slope of the hill. Really, Baggins? Are you really that off your rocker? Is marijuana legal in Nevada? Because you must be smoking a hell of a lot of it, because the next story I'm going to say is when Dre Fordham sits there and says on the same show, this is only my show because I don't know of any other shows, I don't watch his shows, period, but Dre Fordham says, I was at the supermarket, a week after I was at David's house, she says this in the show, she goes, a week after I was at David's house. I was at the supermarket, and I felt faint, and I felt like my spirit was being pulled from my body. My soul was being pulled from my body, and I almost collapsed. So then Barry and Zachy Boy are talking, and Zach then says, he goes, Dre Fordham was at David's house, and the following day she was at the supermarket, and she had this experience. Is it possible, Dr. Taft, that she was affected by, and I'm saying, wait a second, rewind that again. What does Dre say? She goes, a week later, I find myself at the supermarket. Okay, so that's 7 days later. What does he say? The following, you know, she was up at David's house, and the following day, dot, 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 so she was at the supermarket. Excuse me, Rick. I mean, Morty, do you hear this bullshit? This is the kind of crap you got to be aware of. Idiots that talk nonsense that don't understand that when somebody else says something that does not give you the right to take it to bullshit. That's what I'm telling you, Morty. Don't listen to bullshit. It's not the way to talk. Jesus Christ. What's with you people?
So you had Zach out to your house. You had Zach out to the house on two separate occasions then?
No, once. He wouldn't come back after the first time. One time. Remember, when they shot the show Ghost Adventures Aftershocks, I had to go to Las Vegas. I was all shot on location up in Vegas at his studio. I call it a garage, but okay, whatever. really, it's a warehouse. It's basically a warehouse is what it is, his studio. In any event, so, you know, he wouldn't come back here because 3 days after, it took him 3 days for him and the boys to get well after they visited the house. And I am not kidding you. And the only one who's been back since has been Nick Roth. He was here on February 29th last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he came over to do an interview with James Oster, which is Jimmy O, from JoeBlow.com and Arrow in the Head. And they were here for a couple of hours. And, you know, I recorded the whole entire interview with Nick and his return visit because I said, hey, you know something? This is going to be worth something someday. And it's fascinating because Nick's experience here was tremendous. The opportunity for him to be back here was like none other. And he even said, he goes, yeah, we were sick for 3 days after we went to your house. Hmm. It was really that intense. It's like, okay. So I'm sorry,
Dave.
Goes, yeah. Yes.
David, for all of our listeners, David has a movie coming out called House at the End of the Drive.
No, I don't have it coming out. I'd like to have it coming out. No,
okay,
I wish.
Well, go,
believe
yeah.
me, we go through this every year.
To all of our listeners, go to houseattheendofthedrive.com because it stars Lance Hendrickson and David's own dog, Sebastian. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the movie?
Yeah, it's based on my experiences here in the house to a certain point. Quite some time back, it was inspired by a lot of stuff that's happened here, including Barry Taft's experience here with his terrible violent sexual nightmares that he had while he was visiting, after he visited here the first time. But just it's an interesting story. It's a fun story. I'm looking for distribution. If there's anyone out there that's capable of doing some kind of theatrical limited distribution, please contact me. Tell the people to go to the YouTube website, the channel, the youtube.com/David Oman, O-M-A-N, and take a look at the videos there, and please subscribe. The idea is that the house is just, it's a part, the movie is based on the Sharon Tate murders. It was inspired by their murders and the aftermath of the hauntings. It's an interesting story with the hook being is that our people that are in the present day get taken back and become the victims of the murders back in 1969 through the portal in the time vortex and go back in time. It's a great, fun story. It's a fun, crazy story. And I'll tell you this, it's very original. It's like nothing else that's ever been done compared to the stuff in Hollywood that we're producing now with all the remakes of films and television shows. It's definitely something different and unique. And there's a sequel and a prequel built in. I just need somebody to help me get it out into theaters, which we might be doing soon to the Silent Movie Theater in West L.A., or in, was it Hollywood? West Hollywood, I guess.
Cool. Sounds awesome. it looks great, too. If you go to the website, there is a trailer for it with actual footage. I recommend to anybody listening, please go out there and watch it because it does look incredible.
It's a fun movie. And as a matter of fact, the first minute of the movie, or 40 seconds, is actual newsreel footage of the Sharon Tate murders to introduce the public that doesn't know about that to the story.
Cool. Great. How was it making a movie?
It was fun. It was interesting. I'll tell you that the spirits certainly made their presence felt. We had a couple of on-set psychics. Lance Henriksen, whose role was reprising one of my contract laborers' experiences here in the house. And what's funny is that we shot Lance out because Lance was such a consummate professional. He was shot out in about 15, 20 minutes. He had like 3 takes and was like, forget it. We don't need any more takes. I'm not going to bother you. No, Lance is like, okay, what happens? I'm walking around the house, upstairs, downstairs, getting around through the house, and I keep on noticing out of the corner of my eye that there's somebody else who's sitting with the 2 psychics, sitting down, folded legs, in the theater room, in the back, and I'm like going, who the hell's that? And I go up, and I looked, and I said, oh, my God, it's Lance. I said, Lance, what are you doing? He goes, no, just get on your way, do your stuff. I said, Lance, I said, are you okay? He goes, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just hanging out with the psychics. Let me, you go produce your movie, and I'll be fine. And for the next 3 hours, Lance is downstairs with the 2 psychics, the husband and wife team, doing tarot card reading. They're doing tarot card reading, and Lance is, like, gabbing away with them, and I'm keep on looking down. They're like, Lance, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. Just go about your, yeah, just go. Get going. And it's like, yeah, okay, all right, Lance, fine, yeah. Goes, yeah, I'm fine, just go. And it was like the funniest thing. It was like so surreal. It's like, he's a friend of the family. He's a friend of the family from years gone by. So it was like going, you serious? He goes, yeah. I said, all right, fine. I said, you kidding me, He goes, yeah, I can tell. It's like, all right, I don't have time for this. I just got back to working on my movie. But it was just so funny. It was just one of those, like, God, I wish I had some more video footage of that. But, just some of the interesting stuff that I've had happen, with the movie and such.
Yeah, I'm dying to see it.
Getting back to the house itself, what would be one of your favorite experiences that you've had in the house, would you say?
Favorite experiences. Let's see, personal experiences, I'd say there's a couple of them. I mean, that I've been personally directly involved with, obviously seeing J.C. Sebring's ghost was one. Another one would have to be, obviously, having the faucets turn on in front of me in the bathroom 2 years ago. That was just wild. I was like, oh, my God, I can't really. I started giggling. I said, that's so cool. I said, you've done it to my friend, Adam. I said, now you've done it for me. I said, I am so appreciative. I said, I can't say how tickled I am that you guys finally did. I said, that is so special. I said, but look, on a serious note, I said, we're going through a terrible drought here in California, so I really have to ask you and require that you don't do that kind of stuff. Really, I really appreciate that if you wouldn't,
Right.
Which I thought was hysterical. Seeing a glass of wine slide across the dining room table in front of me and 5 guests. That's another highlight. That was just like, my God. I said, that's bitchin'. I said, all right, I've seen everything, and I tilt my seat back, and I'm just, like, shaking my head going, that's just incredible. That's just so wild. My friends, my company was, like, going, what the f- are you so I said, what, you think this guy looks into the table? I said, it's a glass table. I said, what do you think? And it's a glass. He said, you want to show me some kind of a magnet that's got glass and glass being magnetized? I said, I don't think so. I said, wires?
Good point.
I said, what wires? I said, what are you thinking? I said, look, I am the king of no bullshit here. And I laughed. I laughed my ass off. I said, oh, really? You seriously are looking for a wire? I said, it doesn't exist. And also the anniversary of the murders 2 years ago, the figurine being flung off the aquarium and landing, being flung off like 8 feet and landing in front of my friend. I mean, those are things that I personally was directly at the scene of the crime, so to speak, and I saw it, and I was like going, okay, there have been tons and tons and tons of other stories that I've been related or I've seen on the video that have been captured, but I would not say that I was personally involved in where it actually happened in front of me. I'm watching videos. It's like, okay, I've seen tons of that kind of crap and privy to that, so... But those are the ones that I've personally experienced and have not been videotaped, obviously. Well, not
do you get a lot of people that drive by the house that – do you get a lot of people that drive by the house to just take photos of it or just to say or see it by chance? I'm just curious.
Used to a lot more, not so much nowadays. But there are people that drive across the canyon on Starlight Tours or one of the Dearly Departed Tours or Helter Skelter Tours or the Manson Murder Tours, or the Tragical History Tours. They go across this to the the legal street, which is Bella Drive, and look across the canyon all the time.
Oh, okay. Are they respectful, or are they real pain in the ass?
They are what they are.
Fair enough.
I mean, you know, they're people. They're people that are just coming up to see the place. It's like, what am I going to say? I can't say anything about it, so I don't. But they're interesting. Let's just say they're interesting people. They're people, aren't they? Yes, they are. They're people.
Physical people.
Just like
yeah.
you and me. That's right. It's a wonderful day in this neighborhood. A beautiful day in this neighborhood.
Oh, geez.
Could you be mine? Would you be mine? It's a lovely day in this neighborhood. Historical neighborhood indeed. My neighbors.
It is.
Do you know what happened at the end of the drive? Five people were slaughtered. That's right. During the filming of this TV show, as a matter of fact, neighbor. Their neighbors were also supposed to be slaughtered at the houses next door. Two homes were there. You know what they did? They didn't slaughter the neighbors. No, they didn't. They were nice and kind and didn't slaughter the neighbors. Wasn't that lovely? Oh, well. In any event, enough with Mr. Rogers.
We love Mr. Amber's Rogers. Neighbors. It's okay. Anything goes on the fringe. So.
Yes. That was being shot, I said, 69. They were shooting Mr. Rogers about the time that the murders took place.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I did find funny about the house, the house itself, was when you get the electric bill that was three times as normal, and you just yelled, "This has got to stop!" And I was like, "Okay," I literally fell out of my chair laughing because I just find it so funny.
Oh no, that happened. God, I've been here now almost 15 years, so that probably happened close to 10 years ago now. And I got the electric bill, and it was $700, and I'll never forget it. I was like, what the WF and H? And I was like fuming. I was like, cartoon character had steam boiling up out of my gosh darn eyeballs and pouring out of my eardrums. And I go march down to the stairs, down the second floor hallway to the end, where's the which is the cinder block wall. And the laundry room, and I raised my hand, and in my hand I had a crumpled bill, and I was fuming, and I said, all right, I said, I want your attention. I said, I have in my right hand an electric bill. It's three times. I said, three times the normal electric bill. I don't have the money to afford this. And I said, last I checked, I said, you guys don't have pants. And if you don't have pants, you don't have a back pocket. And if you don't have a back pocket, you don't have a wallet in that back pocket that you don't happen to have. And you don't happen to have that wallet that happens to have no cash in it, because I'm the son of a bitch that's going to be paying for it out of my back pocket, out of my wallet, and it's going to bleed me dry. I said, if this ever happens again, so help me God. I said, I will get the world's greatest exorcists and psychics and witch doctors or whoever the hell I have to get to damn you to hell. I said, you are not going to bleed me dry and send me to the poorhouse. I can't afford this. And if I have to move out, I said, you're going to suffer miserably. None of this I believe, of course. But the object of my threats were, it was a bluff saying, I will find somebody come hell or high water because you are going to kill me and I am not going to be sustaining death because you're going to financially drain me. And the prior two months, I know that we had the televisions going on in the middle of the night, lights were going on in different parts of the house that I had not gone in. And people go, you know, aren't you afraid? It's like, no, I just don't spend a lot of time on the third floor, honestly. I mean, I think to myself, gee, when I go down to the third level, it's like, yeah, sometimes to water the cactus, which there were three little cactuses there, and one of them died from the lack of watering because of the lack of time that I spend on the third floor, because I really don't. I kind of leave that to the spirits, so they kind of hang out there. But when I have guests over, I have them stay on the third floor. When we watch movies, we watch movies on the third floor. When we do seances, we do them on the third floor. But for the most part, I seldom go down there, except when I know got a leak in one of the frickin' the fire sprinklers in the ceiling that's leaking. So I've got a big bowl there that I have to check on every now and then to see how the drip's going, since I have to get it fixed. Other than that, I really don't spend a lot of time on the third level. So, you know, it's kind of like that's where they hang, and I let them hang, and that's that.
Okay, weird question for you, David. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, David, what is the most recent activity you've had in the house?
Well, there's a clip of some activity I captured 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago tonight, on the 18th of March, where there was some spirit that I saw by chance. I was watching the monitors, you know, because I have all the cameras throughout the inside of and 16 on the inside and 4 on the outside of the house. And I was, for some reason, something caught my attention on the camera at the front door. And I saw this, like, anomalous fog making its way down the steps, across the steps, across the driveway, into the street, and then basically, evaporated when a car drove by. And I was like, holy, what the? And I went up there, and I double-checked, and I looked at the lens, and I was looking at the camera, and I then did some things with a stick and some string to see if I could manufacture what I had seen, and I couldn't come close, because she was like, it's a bug. And I was like, well, there's a problem with that. I said, the shadow goes right down the steps one at a time. It sticks to the contours of the step. So if it's a shadow of a bug, it's going to be flat. This don't go flat. This thing comes down
it.
And rolls down into the step, and it goes down across the next step. And I said, that's not like those other people's shadow things from a bug. I said, that ain't no bug. That's not a bug. And I said, when it goes across the street, it's like, good, yeah. And I was going, holy hell, in a handbasket. Outside of that, the usual knocks through the middle of the night that I've heard, and you know, the spirits walking around and stuff. I'm thinking, you know, just lately it's been really more active. You can just feel there's been presences coming through the house. And it's like, okay, all right, I can feel, you know, just crazy sounds, like people walking around and people talking, going, it's not on in that room. It's like, no. It's like, okay, they're just hanging out. And I hear it all the time, at night and the day. It doesn't matter. They just, you know, like to hang out. They're a little bit pissed off that I haven't had company and any investigations I've been feeling, I guess you could say. So, la vie, what can I say, you know?
Does the house feel safe?
Does it feel safe? I don't know. I'll ask you, does your house feel safe?
Well, sometimes.
I've never known the house not to feel safe. The house is, to me, it's always safe. It's very safe. I've never had a problem here. I've only been protected by the spirits here at the house. I've never felt threatened or anything. I've only been felt threatened by... an ex-girlfriend's ex-husband. That's who I felt who was stalking me. So, and the spirits were like, get her the hell out of the house. I was like, what? Get her out! get her out. It's like, really? It's like, don't question us. Get her the out of the house. It's like, okay. You got
yep.
it. Next
you,
day she was out.
You don't question your spirit guides at all. Never question.
The spirit guides, the spirits here were like, get her the out of the house. Get her the fuck out of the house. Just get her out. Dump her out quick.
Dump her out.
Yeah, because her ex-husband was crazy. He was stalking her and stalking me.
Right. Absolutely. You would be drawn into that. There's no question.
Oh, no.
No.
I'm not going to mention any details, but it was pretty harrowing. You know, crazy ass, crazy ass.
Was Lindsay Lohan completely nuts when she came over to your house, or was she cool, or what?
She was a bitch. I didn't see a ghost. I didn't see a ghost. Oh, who's smoking pot? Oh, that's so disgusting. I said, Lindsay, that's okay. The Colombian cocaine dealer will be here in about an hour. Don't worry. I said, I called him up when I heard you were coming over. I was like joking, but it was like this vapid and self-entitled bitch, to put it bluntly. It's like, everyone she gets, it's like going, I can't call the ghost wranglers, honey. I said, hold on one second. Walkie-talkie, this is Producer One talking to Ghost Wrangler 2. Ghost Wrangler 2, can you send in 2 ghosts, please? Over. I'm trying to get some ghosts. We can't get them right in right now, sir. Hold on. All right, thank you. Lindsay Lohan's here. She wants a couple of ghosts right now. Over. We're trying, sir. We really, it's not so easy. They really don't want to perform and be around that bitch. Sorry, over. You're telling me. How do you think I feel? I'm alive, and I wish I was dead so I could vacate this premises now that she's walked in. My God, my spirit's been sucked dry. Over. Oh, yeah, that's what the spirit said. No energy vampires. Over. Yeah, okay. Tell the spirits I understand. I know the union won't accept them working under such conditions, so I'll just from this little hand, we can't bring the spirits in over and out. So, and she's, it's like, you know, I'm really sorry, Lindsay. It's, it doesn't work like that. The spirits want to be, you know, they'll manifest. And I showed her this book that had Sharon's autograph in it that was endorsed, a signature signed to her little sister, with a note in it from her to her mom, and she tried to steal the note. And,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was, like, unbelievable. And then she ended up stealing the gosh darn 5x7 press publicity picture I had of Sharon. And it was around the time that she
goodness.
Was being, looking to be possibly portraying Sharon in an a biopic about her. And what's interesting is the night that she was here is the night that she got busted for the necklace.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, that same night. That Wednesday night
Karma.
Was the night she was here. Do you have any questions on the chat line or anything?
We don't right now.
That sucks.
Let me see if we do. Maybe we do. Hold on just a second here.
All right. David, you're a ball to talk to, man. I got to tell you.
Well, thank you very much. I wish somebody would take me up on a television show. God knows, it'd be funny as all hell.
Oh, yeah.
The wide-eyed truth of the Omen House.
It's a great title.
So do we have a caller?
Very true.
Yeah.
Oh, let's
little
talk
caller.
To somebody.
Is somebody on the line with us? Do we have a caller? 619?
That's
yeah.
San Diego.
Yeah, this is Brent. Hey, Dave.
I
got a really unique question. I know you get a lot of very, very high-profile medium and sensitive have come through your house through the years. And I wanted to know, I know each one has their own pickup of energy, what they feel and what they think they are experiencing. And I just wanted to know, do they all come out with the same end result, the same thing, or do a lot of them have their own different take? And happy
everybody
to
has,
guys.
I'd say everybody has their different take. There's some things that come through that are kind of like consistent. Obviously, before the Ghost Adventures show, God, 2 years ago now, no one had known outright that the house had this contained this Native American energy and the spirit in the earthen wall room. And what's interesting is that I would keep it under wraps because I didn't want people, I wanted to use it as kind of like a litmus test. So when people came in, if somebody picked that up, that I would say, okay. And so Lisa Williams was the first person that coined the phrase that there's a Native American here. And after that, Chris Fleming came in, and he came in with the same story. Then James Von Prague came in. Then Marian Winkowski also spoke to me about the house and that. And then a bunch of other different psychics came in with the same exact, you know, thing. It's like, oh, my God. I said, this is pretty strange. I said, how many people would be talking about my house? And these people don't regularly speak to one another. If you know anything about the paranormal field, there's no real, let's just say, there's not a lot of communication between one and the other. You know, people, psychics aren't yabbering to one another like a talk group. So my point is that, you know, what happened was is that I started saying, oh, boy. So finally, the cat's out of the bag when I told Baggins. Jackie Barrett's the other one from America's Psychic Challenge. I told her about the, she told me about the Native American here. Otherwise, they've all come up with their different takes, you know. Certain people could hang out in that room and certain other people couldn't. Like Von Prague didn't like that room at all. Lisa Williams was there for half an hour. It's just, you know, everybody has their own take on it because I think that they bring their own energy to it, their own take, their own personal proclivities, just like Nick Roth is here. The first time he was like all shaken up, and then he came alone a year ago. It was much easier for him. He's like, yeah, it's still kind of tense, but I'm not as harassed, or I don't feel as bothered by it after being here. It still feels intense, but it's not the same type of intensity.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Interesting.
Good stuff in the Omen House.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm sorry. I don't take it so seriously. I mean, I take it seriously, but it's like, okay. It is what it is. It doesn't. It is. When I say it is what it is, the activity is what it is, and it's not like it's going to hurt you. I mean, regardless of what one person's experience is, as I said, that's what they brought here. That's something they've got going on, not necessarily the majority. And unfortunately, if you watch the shows, they've all, you know, the aftershocks, you know, everybody, it's like 66% of the people are affected. It's like, no, that's not really true. Not anymore, at least. And from what I've seen, I think those were the people that unfortunately might have had something they brought to the game that they were, you know, as you say, dealing with. And it had nothing to do with the house.
Absolutely. And David, we'd like to thank you for being on tonight. Again, if you want to go and let people know where they can find you, we'll share it and go ahead and put that up on our website as well. Any links to your website for your movie, as also the link to your YouTube page.
Yeah, YouTube. That's the one to go to. So please subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/David Oman, O-M-A-N.
Dave, thanks
and
for
paranormal
being on the show. It was wonderful.
Oh, my
pleasure,
thank
you very
guys.
Much.
Thanks for having me on. It's always fun to be on and talk about crap.
We enjoy talking crap with you, absolutely. And again, thank you to David
Oman
for joining the Paranormal Fringe tonight. Next week, we're going to have on Stephen Denko, and he's going to talk about Ouija boards. You all have a great evening, and thank you for joining the Paranormal Fringe this evening.
Thanks to the listeners. Much love.